I want to begin this series that will highlight the many words from the cross that Jesus spoke and will not just be executed by me, but we will have plenty of voices to voice what Christ said from the cross throughout the month of March and April. Decided that I need a word too. So I'm just kicking it off, but I'm going to get a word too. Amen. So this morning, and pretty much throughout the entire series, you may not necessarily see a title for each part, but reference the text. And referencing the text, I'm dealing with the word or the phrase that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And how apropos out of nowhere that this word comes on the heels of all that has happened within this denomination. A time where people are dealing with a lot of frustration and anger and dealing with the uncertainties of what all this stuff means, it would seem at least interesting as to why forgiveness would come up. The truth of the matter is, I'm not going to talk about forgiveness per se, because Jesus did a lot more with his words than we think. And for this reason, it's why we're dealing with it every week, at least for the first 7 weeks of this. Because a lot of times we get to Lent, we get to this season, and we begin to try our best to put into a box all that Jesus did. You know, we do it at Christmas too. You know that, right? I know, you know, we call these different things different seasons, but we try to quantify in order to just say, well, in this season, we are to focus on what happened when Jesus came into the earth. And then we get to this point, and now we're going to focus for the next several weeks about what Jesus did when he died. And then we get to the cross, and we take all these words, and what we've done is that we have a million services and try to tell preachers, come up in 7 minutes and sum up what all this stuff means. Which in and of itself is the most ridiculous thing you could ever do. Because it's too much to it. In conversation with my pastor, even before laying this out, my pastor, who's been preaching over 50 years, looked me in the eyes as I told him, I'm going to deal with a series on seven last words. He said, I have never in all these years preached from the seven last words as a Sunday morning message. Man, been doing this forever and never thought about it. He said, I got inspired. It's nice to be a young man inspiring his elders. Yeah, that's right. But there's a reason why I find what Jesus said so important at the cross. Because you got to take into account all that happened leading to the cross. Yes, in the 23rd chapter of Luke, you'll find at least three of these words. The one I'm dealing with today and two others afterward. But don't go that far. Go back. Earlier, before Jesus even talked about any kind of forgiveness, he was on trial, remember? Let me take y'all back a few weeks. Let's see if you remember what we've been preaching. A few weeks ago, I talked about Jesus, interceding for Barabbas. But let me flip that so you come back and look at what happened once again. Pilate was trying to save himself. He was trying to save himself from having to deal with convicting a man he knew in his heart was innocent. And so he tried his best to maneuver and finesse a people that the text said were already in riot mode. And somehow the people decided that it was better. Now we're talking surface. It was better to kill an innocent man than to let a man who was known as an insurrectionist and a murderer to pay his penalty. So a man who was a murderer and he was a political prisoner was set free by people who had hate in their heart. And Jesus still had to go to the cross. How much hate do you have to have in your heart to then say, after being questioned about your choice, because Pilate asked the question, Grant. He asked the question, are you sure about this? They kept on saying, we sure. And Grant, you know how sure they were? They said something crazy. This is what they said. After Pilate washed his hands, said, this ain't on me. The people said, let his blood be on us and our children. How much hate, Grant, does a person have to have to say they are willing to pay the price for somebody's innocent life being taken? Have you ever thought about that? You got to be a hateful somebody. You have to be full on, full of rage to say that I don't care about the penalty. I want this to happen and you cannot change my mind. So Jesus was convicted of a crime he didn't commit. He was then led to be whipped some more. And then he was given a cross. And then he was told, carry it. It wasn't far. It was a few football fields, but it wasn't like 20 miles. It was more like about 900 feet. Because Jerusalem ain't really that big. But he had to go down a street and then go uphill. Collapsed in the road. Simon Cyrene, black man, was pulled by Roman soldiers and told, carry the cross. Which once again, I will state again, there is good reason why everybody of color should be able to shout about the power of his blood. Because before Jesus even died, Simon was covered. I wasn't even trying to go there, but we're painting the picture. This is called exegesis. So then he's brought to the place of his demise. Nailed down on it. Right? Then he was lifted and put in place so that now gravity could do the rest of the job. You hear what I'm saying? Gravity, natural thing was now going to cause the suffocation and the demise of Jesus. 6 hours. The first words that this man Jesus utters, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Suggesting that the people really did not have a clue that Jesus already knew what had to happen. And that he also knew, after his conversation with the Father, that this was going to happen anyway. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Remember, Jesus told Judas, do what you got to do. I already know, but Do what you got to do and do it quickly. Jesus never once in the entire time that he was going through his suffering, he never placed any blame on the people that were nothing more than pawns in the greater game. They thought they were getting rid of him. Somebody caught that in the spirit. They thought they were getting rid of him. But he knew that all they were doing were allowing these things to happen, and they were instruments that would lead ultimately to his resurrection. Because you can't resurrect something that doesn't die. So he steps in, and rather than attempt to prove once again that he belonged, he said, forgive them because they don't have a clue as to what they're doing. In other words, do not allow them to receive the fullness of what they've asked for, because they might miss what's about to come. And can you imagine what it must have been like for them to find out? I'm already skipping all the way to the end. But we're going to be skipping to the end a whole lot every week. What must have it been like to be the person that said kill him, but find out he wasn't there? What must have it been like to be a person who was in the crowd waiting on demise, because that's what they wanted, only to find out that Jesus was not there? What must have it been like to watch Jesus die, knowing that you were a part of the group that made sure that he did die, only to find out that resurrection was still going to happen? And that's why I still got hope. Because no matter what people do, there's still a resurrection on the way. And somebody in here needs to hear this morning, that no matter what people have done to you, no matter what they have tried to do to you, no matter how they have tried to interfere with your progress, no matter how much they have discounted you and tried to put you in a grave somewhere, no matter how much they have tried to silence you, no matter how much they have tried to keep you down, you need to get up and shout off of this, that if you are in Christ, there is still resurrection power. But if you're going to experience that, you first got to do something that's uncomfortable. You got to forgive folk that don't even realize they need it. You got to intercede for people that don't even realize they are in greater need of God moving in their lives than in yours. Now, I'm not telling you to ever forget what's been done to you. That's not what you're going to hear from me. I remember everything that people have done to me. I remember it all. I have a catalog of what people have done to me. I got a catalog a mile long on some people, and they don't even understand how I still treat them like they're human. And they know I treated you like a dog. How is it possible that you still see me and you treat me like a human being? Here's how. Because somewhere in there, what you attempted to do caused something in me to rise. I didn't want you to do anything to me. I didn't deserve the mess that you did to me. I didn't deserve how you came at me, and I sure enough didn't deserve how you tried to turn everything on me when you were the perpetrator. But if I didn't go through it, I wouldn't be able to stand here and look at you, know that you are garbage according to what you did, but also know that God is able to even turn garbage into gold. So I'm not telling you to forget, but what I am telling you is that you need to take this thing called forgiveness, and wait, don't jump too quick. This thing called forgiveness, this thing called intercession, and recognize what it really is for the believer. It is the opportunity to get off of you what you didn't deserve to carry in the first place. The problem with the church, the problem with what happened last week, was this. You had too many people trying to fight to be considered right, rather than realize that God is so big that ultimately God don't really need our help. And what some other folk don't realize is there are people everywhere wanting to fight, but they don't know how to fight. Explain yourself. Jesus should have been cussing out everybody that made him get on the cross. He should have been cussing out Peter. He should have been cussing out the other disciples. He should have been cussing out everybody that he ever healed. Everybody he ever blessed.
Yes.
When folk do stuff to you and you start remembering what you did for them, this ain't going to be like normal. That's why there ain't no points. I'm trying to help somebody. You going around mad, got every right to be mad. You know how you help folk when they didn't deserve it. You went around and they were broke and you gave them your last 20 and they ain't never gave it back. All that kind of stuff. And you got every right to be mad. You got every right to be upset. You got every right to be in your feelings, as they say. But all of a sudden, there's so much God in you that the Spirit don't even allow you to be in your feelings that long. And rather than be in your feelings, you say, Father, forgive them. Not for my sake, but because they don't know what they're doing. See, it is to get that stuff off of you. You don't need to be carrying around their stuff. That ain't you. No, stop that. 2019 and people talking about new me, this, that, and the other. And this is the one thing people miss. Stop carrying what you weren't meant to carry. Stop taking on people's stuff that you weren't meant to take on. Stop taking on people's hate that you weren't meant to take on. They hate because they are unsettled with themselves. So you need to pray that God will intercede and help them get settled so that thing will get off of them. And you pray for yourself that you don't take that thing on and then give it to somebody else that didn't deserve it. I'm preaching right now. Sometimes you need to get to a point where you recognize you are taking on stuff that you were never meant to take on and you ain't got no business taking on. Who cares what folk are doing over here and over there? The one thing you can control is yourself.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
And even on the cross, Jesus said, forgive them. There are people in churches today and their worship services are almost like pep rallies, some of them, because they want to continue to bolster about being inclusive, this, that, and the other. And I'm with them. God bless them. But some of them still might miss the point. They are so hyped right now and in their feelings that they miss, that if they carry that, that ultimately they'll miss the moment of resurrection. Nobody that God has ever blessed, nobody that God has ever had his hands on, ever went throughout life without coming back from being buried. Prove it. I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said, right? I have overcome the world. And guess what? If you in me, guess what? You have too. But if you're consumed with everything else, you will miss the fact that even in this, you are still above it. So I don't care how they try to do one thing with one group, knowing that it's going to affect multiple groups that are, what's the term, that are maligned, that are disenfranchised and all that. I realize that because I serve a God that's much bigger than groupthink, I have already overcome whatever obstacle has been placed. Ain't nothing but an obstacle. Ain't nothing but just another thing to let you know that there are some people, not all people, but some people that cannot get off of the fact that God is bigger than what we assume. Have we been down this road before? Yes, we have. Black folk wouldn't have been in the United Methodist Church at all if it wasn't for a group of people that said, we ain't going to join unless you get everybody. That's in the history. Same demon, different clothing. So just because it's one group, don't think for 5 seconds it couldn't be another. And can I throw this out here too? This is just for free. Be careful of how you present yourself as a believer in this season, because you may be in a quote unquote oppressed group that God loves. But my God, if you treat folk the way you've been treated, you are just as bad as the oppressor. And watch this one. Oppressed people don't know how to, wait, people will say, well, when I'm oppressed, I don't know how to be the oppressor. Yes, you do. Because you only learn oppression from the oppressor. And you can activate that thing to somebody else. And it's easy because you know what it looks like to go through it. So before you get on your high horse, make sure the lessons you learn from being oppressed are not carried out through you either. That was free. You and I have to be in a position now to truly be the church, to be a people that understand, feel, and receive the power of the resurrection. But it begins by saying, I need to get this off of me. And the only way I'll get it off of me is if I what? Say something that's hard to say. People are like, well, you shouldn't try to ask God to forgive if you don't really feel it in your heart. Do you think Jesus really felt that? But he was Jesus. Spoiler alert, but he was fully in the flesh. It's difficult to do something when you know others may not have deserved it, and guess what? Spoiler alert, you didn't either. But if you function out of the grace of God rather than out of the pettiness of yourself, you are able to do something that you in and of yourself can't do. And God will give you strength to walk in it, even when it's most difficult. And then God will bless you in ways you could never imagine, not because you're perfect, and not because you necessarily needed to, and not because you should have had to, but because you learned how to get it off of you. And when you get it off of you, redouble your efforts to fight against the thing that was happening. What do you mean? So you went down this time, and people crucified you for doing the right thing this time. Well, guess what? The resurrection is when I come back. When Jesus came back with what? All power. He said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And guess what? Because of that, I need to tell you, go and make disciples. They're going to experience what? That same power that only I can give. So when you're going through all this stuff and you say, you know what? Lord, take it because I can't. Lord, take it because I can't deal with it. God will give you opportunity to work out what's in your mind and in your heart. God will give you opportunity and safe spaces to work out the thing that hurts the most, so that when you come back, people will not be able to deny what he's done in your life. When people see you, they ought to see how God has worked out a thing in you. When people see me, they ought to be able to see how God has been working in my life. They shouldn't have to see where I took the loss, but my God, they should be able to look at the scars, because they know I've been somewhere, I've gone through something, and on the other side of it, I may be scarred, but guess what? I'm whole. I'm not taking your stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm giving it to God, and I'm going to give it back to you. I don't care what you think about me. Not because it doesn't run across my mind, but because at the end of the day, I got to care about what God thinks about me. And if I do what God asked me to do, then I know that my victory is on the other side of all this. So if all I got to do is say, Lord, intercede on their behalf, and the blessing is bigger than a moment to just say, Lord, work it out. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, Lord, work it out. And teach me how to go up against the thing that is trying to destroy. That's when you know for sure that you're really in a spiritual battle and not in and of the flesh. And that's what I want to help somebody today. When you leave out of here, don't think you got to fight on your level and fight just with your mind and fight just with your hands and fight just with your flesh. The Bible says that you're fighting not against flesh and blood, but you're fighting against spirits and principalities and everything else. So when you go back out here in the world and you go and see how people are going through all kinds of stuff, remind them this is not just something on a certain level, but it's deep down into the spirit realm. And if we can identify what that spirit is, we need to go in and fight it. And how do you fight it? You fight it with the word that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You fight that thing and let them know that the people of God that love the Lord, that Jesus said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. You let them know that they're not by themselves, but they stand with a God that will stand with them. You let them know that even in this, the Lord will fight all of our battles. He will do what nobody else can do. He will show up. He will lift up a bowed down head. So lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Because even in this, the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord mighty in battle. So don't be cast down. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. You better get on your feet and let somebody know that you are not going out, that you're not going by the wayside. Lord, forgive them, because I see down the line that everything you promised me is still mine. Somebody ought to say yes.